In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Tuesday, February 15th, 2011, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The first and third Tuesday of every month at 1 o'clock, it's Pentagon Solutions, and today is no exception. Today, focusing on a new release. It's called The Pentagon Labyrinth, 10 Short Essays to Help You Through It, and it's from 10 Pentagon insiders, retired military officers and specialists with over 400 years of defense experience. And this document put together by Winslow Wheeler of the Strauss Military Reform Project, part of the Center for Defense Information. And Winslow is just one of my guests in the studio today. It's nice to see you, sir. You're hidden behind this TV screen, so I apologize for that.
No problem.
But it's great to see you. Thank you for being here today. Before we introduce your co-authors and bring them into the conversation, talk about your desire to put this together. This is not a typical book in that, as I said, it's 10 essays about trying to navigate the Pentagon.
I'm a creature of Capitol Hill. I worked in Capitol Hill for 30 years. And when I started there, the Vietnam War was going on, and J. William Fulbright was the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee. I was so junior in the staff, I'd sit in the back of the public seating in the hearing room to listen to things. And I was there one day when he had William Rogers, Nixon's Secretary of State, as the witness. And Fulbright was peppering him with questions that Fulbright wasn't supposed to know the answers to. And correcting Rogers, saying, no, that's not correct, Mr. Secretary, here's what actually happened. And he was really taking him apart piece by piece. The hearing was over. Rogers and his staff were obviously steamed, and as they stormed out with their unhappy faces, one of the staffers said to some underling coming out with them, find out how those bastards found all that out. Moved to March 2003, and the Senate Armed Services Committee had hearings with Donald Rumsfeld just before the war in Iraq. And the chairman, John Warner, asked the question, are we ready to go to war? Are we even ready to go to war? It had to do it simultaneously with Iran and North Korea. And the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff gave a one-word response. It was, absolutely. That was the last question in a two-hour-long hearing about the readiness of this country to go to war, let alone whether we should or not. And so what I'm saying is that we've had a deterioration in our government where people have forgotten how a good government works.
Mm-hmm.
And my motivation for this book was basically that.
To help people understand exactly what the structure should look like inside the building.
Mm-hmm.
I see. All right. Chuck Spinney is one of the authors that's put a piece in this book. It's called Why Is This Handbook Necessary? Chuck, welcome to the program. It's great to have you here today.
Thank you very much.
Talk about your essay in this book and why you wanted to be involved with it from the beginning.
Well, Winslow explained to me what he was trying to do, and he asked me to write an essay. I'm retired, and I was kind of reluctant to do it, but he eventually convinced me.
He's persuasive that way, isn't he?
He was persuasive, and he eventually convinced me to do it.
Persistent.
Yeah, persistent is a better, more accurate word. Anyway, to get him off my back, I decided to write it. And once I started writing it, I actually got into it, and it turned out much better than I thought it would at the time. My main concern has been the absence of a reasonable budget debate over the defense budget, and that really drives everything. It drives our foreign policy, it drives our domestic politics as far as defense is related, and so I tried to put together an essay explaining, you know, how sort of the domestic roots of our foreign policy as it's described through the defense budget.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why that's one reason why the book is necessary, is to understand that the domestic politics in our nation are actually shaping the foreign policy, and it has a lot to do with what I call the military the prerogatives of the maintaining the prerogatives of what I call the military industrial congressional complex.
Mm-hmm. I want to come back to that concept because many people refer to the military industrial complex and leave out the congressional part. So I want to talk about that element of your worldview throughout at some point during the program today. Also want to bring in Pierre Spray, who is author of the ninth essay in this collection. It's called Evaluating Weapons, Sorting the Good from the Bad. Pierre, it's great to see you today. Thank you for being here. A lot of the conversation about spending at the Pentagon revolves around weapon systems, and do we need this one, do we not need that one? Coming away from your essay, I got the impression that you think that that debate is not being held on the right terms, or that the right things aren't being discussed. Am I fair? Is that fair?
That's a thorough understatement. It's the right things aren't even being thought about or are of any interest to the people who design and build and contract weapons. They're about the money. You know, and there's a good chapter in the book, by the way, about mm-hmm. follow the money, because, of course, that's what's wrecked the country through the military budget.
We're going to have the entire document linked up for you at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon. There are 10 essays in this collection, in addition to Pierre Winslow and Chuck Spinney, George Wilson, Bruce Gudmundson, Colonel G.I. Wilson, Colonel Chet Richards, Andrew Coburn, and Thomas Christie are the authors of the pieces that are included there. Winslow, what do you want somebody to take away from this when they're finished reading all of this collection of 10 essays?
I want them to understand what they're dealing with. What the games the Pentagon plays with numbers for budgets for weapon systems, what the motivation that project managers, whether they're wearing a uniform or a suit in the Pentagon, what their real energy-giving motivations are, rather than what they say their motivations are. Pierre's chapter is one of the more extraordinary chapters of the book. If you read that chapter and you read some of the extraordinary sources he footnotes, not previously available on the internet, you'll understand why he came to the conclusion that the F-22 is a failure as a fighter. But you know, in the common sense in Washington, it's biblical text. Mm-hmm. The F-22 is a world beater fighter. Read Pierre's chapter, you'll get a different point of view.
The element of Congress in all of this is critical. Chuck, you mentioned it, and we'll explore that more because that's the topic of one of the pieces that you wrote for this, Winslow. And it also, Pierre, plays very heavily into what you wrote about weapon systems. So we'll explore that when we come back on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. It's Pentagon Solutions on In Depth with Francis Rose, and we'll be right back.
Gecko with a little hello to all you federal employees. Now, in government, there are people on all points of the political spectrum, but there is one thing that everyone agrees on. Saving money is good. Which brings me to the big news. GEICO now offers discounts to most federal employees GS7 or above. It don't matter if you're a Democrat or an aristocrat, left wing, right wing or a chicken wing. If you're a federal employee GS7 or above, you could be saving a lot of money on your car insurance by switching to GEICO. So no matter if you're blue, or red, or in my case, green. If you're a federal employee, GS7 or above, contact GEICO and see how much you could save. Isn't that right, Mike?
Exactly right, my little green friend. Hey, folks, this is Mike Causey. And like the Gecko said, discounts are available for most federal employees, GS7, the equivalent, or above. Just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local GEICO office to see how much you could save.
The Future of Public Sector Workforce and Workspace Sustainability is a series featuring a panel of renowned government and technology industry experts.
The panel is sponsored by Cisco. This third panel in the series focuses on mobility dimension of collaboration. Panelists will examine how to define, manage, and more importantly, increase collaboration with today's mobile workforce. Panelist Casey Coleman, Chief Information Officer at GSA, comments.
We have just created a cross-organizational telework program office to really look closely at all aspects of culture, policy, training, and how we effectively go mobile as an organization. We have a saying here that telework is a team sport. And what we mean by that is that if one person in a team is teleworking or is mobile, then everyone needs to be operating differently.
To hear this show in its entirety, go to federalnewsradio.com. That's federalnewsradio.com. Keyword, work.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
The challenge, protect U.S. Army helicopter crews from shoulder-fired, heat-seeking missiles. The answer, ITT Defense and Information Solutions has developed a lightweight, upgradable, and cost-effective solution that tracks the threat and blinds it instantly. Helicopters are vital to our defense. ITT is committed to their defense. ITT, doing essential things in extraordinary ways. Visit them at defense.itt.com.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabeck Insider this afternoon. Part of President Obama's budget includes a reorganization of government. So how can a government reorganization be carried out effectively? We'll talk to a professor who has literally written a book on the subject and how to improve the government procurement process. Folks seeking your insights will tell you how you can participate this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabeck Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, on Pentagon Solutions today, discussing the new collection, The Pentagon Labyrinth, 10 Short Essays to Help You Through It, from the Strauss Military Reform Project of the Center for Defense Information. And one of my guests in studio today is Chuck Spinney. And you mentioned, as we were first talking, Chuck, you used the term military-industrial congressional complex. Not many people, in fact, I can't think of anybody else that refers to the situation that way. Explain why you think it's important to include Congress in and make it a triumvirate rather than just a duo.
Well, basically, if you look at how the military-industrial congressional complex works, it's about a money flow, money flowing from the federal government to contractors, which then comes back to the federal government through Congress in the form of support of individual congressmen. And the system wouldn't work without the support of Congress. Congress was originally set up to prevent the rise of tyranny. If you go back to the Federalist Papers, everything like that. So what the Pentagon has basically pioneered, and the rest of the government is now copying, was the idea that if you, when you design a piece of equipment, if you can place pieces of that, subcontracts for that equipment in different congressional districts, you can generate support over the long term. And essentially, you build a political safety net, a social safety net of sorts, an insurance policy, by buying off the individual congressmen, by having factories in their districts, money flow into their districts, and of course, by contributing money to their campaigns. So once that gets locked in, then Congress will protect the program in the future. Every time we try to close an unneeded base, you see that effect. That's mm-hmm. a very commonly understood thing. Mm-hmm. But when you got an F-22, where it's built in 44 to 45 states and probably over 200 to 300 congressional districts, you get an idea of the kind of lock that's put on the system. Mm-hmm. There's no accident in that. That's done very deliberately by the program managers. It's sponsored by the program managers in the Pentagon, and it's done of very carefully by the program managers in the contractors.
Mm-hmm. I think the acronym for the MIC, the Military-Industrial Congressional Complex, needs a J, an I, and maybe some other letters. In journalism, you see an awful lot of this behavior where the ads and newspapers are from Lockheed, Boeing, whatever. The Washington Post is full of ads between Boeing and Airbus on the tanker controversy. And don't think that doesn't have influence. It does, and journalists have told me in the specific terms how it does when stories or parts of stories get killed. The intelligence community is part of this operation. And when I was a staffer, I got intelligence briefings when I was at GAO on weapon systems, and it was like it was out of the brochure or the manufacturer. You need to include think tanks, major think tanks here in town, get huge parts of their financial support from manufacturers, and then they have the audacity to go write things about those weapon systems. I happen to work for one that refuses to accept money from either the government or from defense manufacturers, but most of them are not in that category.
Mm-hmm. Where is the Center for Defense Information funded? Who supports it?
Foundations and members of the board, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Ford Foundation, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's been around since the 1970s, founded by retired military officers, as a matter of fact, who are sick of the distorted side of explanations that the Pentagon kept on coming out with till mm-hmm. today.
Do you feel sometimes like you're the you're the one person standing in the wilderness with a cigarette lighter trying to hold the light around Winslow?
No, I don't. I think there's a lot of people out there. I left Capitol Hill under dubious circumstances when I wrote an essay criticizing some members of Congress about what they were doing in defense bills with pork just after 9/11. And I thought people would say, you son of a gun, and, you know, sort of kick me out.
Mm-hmm.
But I was astonished how people I would never expect to say it said things to me in the elevator that they really, you know, appreciated what I did, and they were glad for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think those kind of people are all over the place, that they're trying to survive. They're working in an environment where they really don't like what they're doing, but they feel they have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of person we're trying to appeal to think more about what they're doing and how there might be ways to work around and end up doing other jobs more effectively.
Mm-hmm. Pierre,
I agree with that. I think there's a very disparate large group of people coming all the way from Tea Party right wing to really hard left wing who all understand there's something wrong with using the taxpayers' money to influence congressmen to send more money to companies who then turn around and send that taxpayers' money back to ever increase the huge flow of money coming to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, there's a lot of people who understand that's happening and who obviously see that it's wrong.
Yeah.
It's just they're not organized into any particular group or strong movement,
mm-hmm.
and they're facing an unbelievable bulldozer of $600 billion a year, you know, defense budget, actually much more than that.
Mm-hmm. When we come back, I want to talk some about the budget. I played Secretary Gates' news conference yesterday about the budget, and he made comments that are the top story on federalnewsradio.com right now about the continuing resolution and the money that's necessary, that he believes is necessary for the Pentagon to maintain operations through the rest of this fiscal year. And we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about some of the points that, some of the common threads that I saw run through each of the essays when we come back on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. It's Pentagon Solutions Today with Pierre Spray, Chuck Spinney, and Winslow Wheeler. All contributors to the Pentagon Labyrinth, 10 short essays to help you through it. You can find more about it later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. We'll be right back.
CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are lower on weak retail sales figures. The Commerce Department says they rose for the seventh straight month in January, but by the smallest amount since June. But in a separate report, the Commerce Department reports that businesses increased their inventories for a 12th consecutive month in December. The Dow's down 38 points, the Nasdaq lower by 7. Another big increase in airfares, Delta and American announcing they're raising the price on their first class, business class, and 7-day advance purchase tickets. Last week, United and Continental raised fares on their high-end tickets. Shares of Limelight Networks are sharply higher. That's after the provider of streaming video services narrowed its fourth quarter loss. The company also out with a better-than-expected forecast for the current quarter. And Apple is launching a subscription service for magazines, newspapers, videos, and music through its Mac App Store. Chris Maurer, CNBC.
At Ally Bank, we don't think it's enough to just offer great rates. That's why we've created a CD with a rate that can get, well, greater. The Ally Raise Your Rate 2-Year CD. You start off with a rate that is consistently among the most competitive in the country. Then you have the option of a one-time increase if our rates go up over the course of the term. When it comes to banking, who wouldn't love that? To learn more about our Raise Your Rate 2-Year CD or to open an account, visit allybank.com. Member FDIC.
Your mother always told you to say no to peer pressure. So when you hear how 4 million drivers switched to GEICO last year, you aren't swayed. Then again, those 4 million drivers probably saved hundreds by switching to the nation's third largest car insurance company. Maybe your mother was wrong. Maybe you could have joined that hippie commune in Montana. Or maybe you could save money by switching to GEICO today.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
If you can't communicate effectively, you can't get the job done. That's why government agencies turn to Avaya Government Solutions and UTDI. Their unified communication solutions increase employee productivity, improve customer service, and cut costs by integrating multiple forms of communications across multi-vendor networks. UTDI and Avaya Gov have partnered to provide faster communications at a lower cost with greater efficiency to the federal government. The future of unified communications has arrived. Learn more at avayagov.com/GSA2011.
How is the U.S. Department of Defense improving business operations? What is DOD doing to better use its resources, improve its stewardship, and provide the best support possible to the warfighters? And how is DOD leveraging technology and innovation to be more efficient and effective? Join host Michael Keegan next week as he explores these questions and more with Dave Wettergren, Assistant Deputy Chief Management Officer at the U.S. Department of Defense. That's next week on the Business of Government Hour.
The following statement has been authorized by Credit Guard of America. A nonprofit national helpline has been established to assist members of the public struggling with credit card debt. If you owe $2,000 or more to the credit card companies and are seeking relief, you are invited to call the toll-free helpline now for free information. 1-800-300-3320. This service is provided by Credit Guard of America, a nonprofit organization. The free helpline offers programs that allow you to cut your payments by up to half of what you're currently paying and reduce your debt to much less than you owe. Call the toll-free helpline now for free information at 1-800-300-3320. Again, a nonprofit national helpline has been established to assist members of the public struggling with credit card debt of $2,000 or more. Members of the public wanting to learn how to get debt-free and stay debt-free are urged to call the National Toll-Free Helpline now for free information and assistance at 1-800-300-3320. That's 1-800-300-3320.
Hi, I'm Denise Ballou of the FBI. The case was revealed in December 1995. Operation Senior Sentinel targeted illegal boiler rooms and telemarketing fraud.
The case was hugely significant in that it's one of the few, if not only, instances I can think of where an entire crime problem was basically wiped out by very focused, dramatic investigation.
Keith Slaughter is special agent in charge of FBI San Diego. Formerly in Miami, he initiated the undercover operation that evolved into Senior Sentinel.
These were telemarketers who were really, really bad individuals who were promising big prizes and a lot of different things, preying on customers, especially the elderly.
Many were conned into losing their life savings, but the tables were turned.
Instead of using undercover agents in those cases, we used a combination of retired agents and retired citizens affiliated with the AARP to pose as victims.
Ultimately, about 1,200 arrests and hundreds of convictions. I'm Denise Ballou of the Bureau on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Federal Managers Association invites all federal managers, supervisors, and executives to its 73rd National Convention and Training Seminar, Federal Managers Turning Policy into Action. On Tuesday, March 15th in Arlington, Virginia, federal managers will gather for engaging presentations including Hiring Reform, What It Means to Managers, The Future of Supervisory Training, and Managing a Telework Workforce. For more details, visit fedmanagers.org. That's fedmanagers.org.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's our Pentagon Solutions series, the first and third Tuesday of every month, and today we're focused on a publication just out called The Pentagon Labyrinth, 10 Short Essays to Help You Through It, published by the Strauss Military Reform Project at the Center for Defense Information, and Winslow Wheeler is with CDI and coordinated the publication of this and contributed two essays to it, and we'll talk more specifically about the essays in a few moments. I want to just make sure that I understand, though, gentlemen, each of your worldviews. I'm joined by Winslow Wheeler, also by Chuck Spinney and Pierre Spray, each contributors to this. Do you believe that there is room for a group of companies, large and small, to serve the Pentagon, to serve the needs of the warfighter, still make a reasonably healthy profit in the process? Is that something that you agree with? Winslow, start with you.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, General Dynamics didn't complain about the opportunity to build the F-16. They made billions doing it. That was a design from your guest, Pierre Spray, in large part. There's plenty of room for contractors who are willing to behave themselves in a fundamentally ethical sense and that don't think it's their right to try to run the whole system, both Congress and the Pentagon. That gets us to the people. A lot of people issues involved here. But absolutely. The Pentagon now is one of the world's largest socialist economies. That should change, and we should have a very competitive relationship with the contractors rather than one where we're in bed with them every day of the week.
Mm-hmm. Chuck, what are your thoughts there?
I agree completely. The defense... We need a defense industry, and we certainly don't want to shut it down. What we need, though, is an arm's-length relationship between the government and the defense industry. And I would also add that we need more competition within the defense industry. When I was a young officer in the Air Force in the 1970s, I witnessed a few honest competitions, particularly I'm thinking about the A-10 or the AX. And the YF-16, YF-17 fly-off. And what was very interesting about that period of time is that each company built a prototype, and I'll just describe the YF-16, YF-17. Each company built a prototype, and then they had a free-for-all fly-off to determine which one was best. That had a very invigorating aspect on the industry, and I remember it to this day that everybody was saying, boy, this is the way we should be doing it. This, I'm talking about contractors.
Mm-hmm.
The contractors are saying, this is the way we should be doing it. Even though one was going to win and one was going to lose, we can get – this is great. We're innovative. We're creating new designs, and we're having a competition and let the best man win.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've got to get back into. It's very ironic that this country prides itself on capitalism, but in the defense industry, we essentially have a form of socialism. Of corporatism, where you got government and industry in bed with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do see those rare instances of competition, people get excited in the industry as well as in the government. And in the end, a better product came out of it.
Mm-hmm. Pierre?
Yeah, that's exactly what we need. We need a vibrant, really competitive defense industry. Of course we need that. And there's talent out there that would vastly improve the weapons our soldiers and sailors and airmen can use.
Mm-hmm.
That talent is being tremendously suppressed by these huge quasi-socialistic giants like Lockheed Martin and Boeing, you know, who are not at all competitive or capitalist organizations. They work almost like bureaus of the communist system. You know, they're so deeply involved and enmeshed with the government, and their existence is so guaranteed by the fact that they can keep on pumping money back into the Congress and guaranteeing their own contract. Mm-hmm. So they suppress really good, innovative, simple designs. You know, whenever you see a relatively open, competitive marketplace in defense, you get all these great ideas out of companies, far better than any other nation can get,
mm-hmm.
Because most of them are still involved with bureaus and arsenal systems and so on. Just a simple example. Just before World War II, a very small car company in this country designed the Jeep, probably the most brilliant small combat vehicle of World War II. And it, just on its own merits, because it was such a radical innovation in small combat vehicles, it forced its way. The Army was dead opposed to it. In fact, the Army took vengeance. The Army, being a socialist system, took vengeance against this poor company. The company's name was Bantam, and essentially put them out of business. They were bankrupt by the end of World War II for having dared to invent a great new vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the system we work in today.
You mentioned the notion of people coming first a number of times. Winslow mentioned people, and I want to come back to that thought in a minute. But, Chuck, you wanted to add something.
Yeah, and when Pierre is using the word suppressed, he's talking about the engineers and the machinists in the companies themselves. If you just would release them and let them explore their own creativity, mm-hmm. and that's what was so apparent to me just watching the two fly-offs I mentioned earlier, the AX fly-offs and the lightweight fighter fly-offs.
Mm-hmm.
It just exploded. That creativity was there just waiting to burst out.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, we had to pull teeth to get those competitive fly-offs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say, the entire bureaucratic system was hard over against it. And we had to play some real bureaucratic guerrilla tactics to get people to accept that we would have a real fly-off, not a phony fly-off the way we have today, where real airplanes would actually fight in the air and decide, you know, which is the better.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bloody process getting to that.
Mm-hmm.
And the choice was not computer models or anything. The pilots had the last say in the fly-off.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones. They said, this is better than that one, even if they couldn't explain why.
Mm-hmm. Winslow, you mentioned earlier this is a people issue.
Mm-hmm.
What has to happen? Where do the new people that would change this system come from? What's their impetus for wanting to become involved in this system, where the nature of changing it at the level that you all are proposing would be quite monumental? Not a task for the faint of heart and not a lot of fun. Where do these people come from? Who are they, and what are they doing right now?
Right. Yeah, we have a real problem with the people leading our defense infrastructure. They come from industry and Congress, and when they leave, they want to go to industry. They want to make money. They want status in the Washington, D.C. community. They do all the kinds of things they perceive to be needed to perpetuate the system as it exists. There are lots of people out there who don't have those motivations but are watching this with disgust. Just a small example. When people talk about the revolving door, they don't talk about Capitol Hill. And the Capitol Hill's relationship to the Pentagon rather than industry. That's one of the most pernicious elements of the revolving door. In the Senate and House Armed Services Committee, it's considered a sign of a quality staffer if you're offered a job in the Pentagon. And so, of course, they all lust after them. And what does that mean for the oversight they perform? That means they don't perform it. To do proper oversight, you need to make the people in the Pentagon pretty angry because you're uncovering things they don't want you or the public to know. And you're sure as heck not going to get a job offer after you've just had a hearing demonstrating that Ashton Carter sometimes doesn't know what he's talking about, or if he does know what he's talking about, is not telling the complete story about the F-35, for example. That's not a method to get yourself a big fat job offer from the Pentagon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of system that we're dealing with and that we need to change.
I want to talk more about the people element of it when we come back and try to get at some answers, some Pentagon solutions with my guests who are all contributors to the new publication, The Pentagon Labyrinth, 10 Short Essays to Help You Through It on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's published by the Strauss Military Reform Project at the Center for Defense Information. You can find out more about it later this afternoon at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Program continues in a moment.
Become an extraordinary leader through the Key Executive Leadership Masters of Public Administration program at American University. Taught by faculty at the top-ranked School of Public Affairs, the Key MPA program is designed for working professionals and offers weekend classes to fit your schedule. Learn more at an information session on March 1st. To RSVP, visit spa.american.edu/key. And now, the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Taxpayer advocate Nina Olson says healthcare reform could be causing some logistics issues for the Internal Revenue Service. Taxpayers will have to certify on those returns whether they're covered by health insurance, forcing the IRS to determine whether a taxpayer is eligible for a subsidy or has a hardship exemption. Olson recommends the IRS revise its mission statement to recognize its now dual role as tax collector and benefits administrator. I'm Amy Morris.
Are you getting the most value for your life insurance premium? Probably not. Therefore, take a moment to check out WEPA, a nonprofit association founded in 1943 that enables federal employees to purchase better life insurance at far better prices. WEPA offers premium refunds, a college scholarship program, and most importantly, rates that are much less than the federal program. Visit WAEPA.org to learn more. Once again, that's WAEPA.org.
Newsmakers on In Depth with Francis Rose, weekday afternoons 1 to 3.
Deloitte's Bill Eggers on reorganizing government agencies.
We have a once-in-a-generation chance to do this differently, to take advantage of all the new technologies, the new business models, the more horizontal structures, to create a different shape of what these agencies are going to look like. Flatter organizational structures, more horizontal.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.
You want to ensure suspicious moles aren't cancer and catch any that are early, but a doctor's eye can only see so much. Biopsies are currently needed to confirm whether a mole is cancerous, but University of British Columbia dermatology professor David McLean and colleagues have engineered a device that simply held over a mole to beam in light.
When you shine a laser onto a skin lesion, the wavelength of the laser light that comes back at you shifts a tiny bit, and that shift is dependent upon the molecules that are in that lesion, and because melanomas do look a bit different, they should have different things in them.
The device analyzes the reflected light, and sure enough, in a study of 1,000 skin lesions, it identified all 274 confirmed melanomas. McLean says while the results are extremely promising, larger studies are needed before it's ready for your doctor's office. More at www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. On Pentagon Solutions today, a focus on The Pentagon Labyrinth, 10 short essays to help you through it. Recently released by the Center for Defense Information, the Strauss Military Reform Project, part of that organization. Winslow Wheeler is the you're the editor of this,
yeah.
And we were talking about the people element of all this with you just a moment ago, and also contributors to this publication, Chuck Spinney and Pierre Spray, and about the revolving door. Why is it bad for the Pentagon to want to hire someone from industry who theoretically should know about the issues and, in fact, the individual systems and how the whole overall system operates from the experience? Why is that bad?
Because it corrupts them, and we can't tell the ones who are being honest from the ones who are driving an agenda. And these are subtle forces. Well, I've got two kids in 5 years. I need to go to college. I need to worry about this. I've got this program I'm managing. It's pretty screwed up, but I really don't want to make enemies here.
Mm-hmm.
And those are subtle little forces, but they have a tremendous influence, I think. And I have a lot of much more respect for the kind of relationship between a Pentagon manager and industry where you're not my friend, I'm not yours. We're never going to be pals. Don't ask me out to dinner. Don't ask my friends out to dinner. You're screwing up in that program, and you need to fix it, or else you're going to be out.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a great relationship as far as I'm concerned.
There's a lot to cover, gentlemen, in this conversation, and time is slipping away from us quickly. So, Pierre and Chuck, I want to ask you, one of the things that industry people talk about is the ability to collaborate with the agencies, and DOD's not the only one. The administration's policy, this administration and previous administration's policy, has been to encourage that collaboration before RFPs and in the development stages of contracts. The discussion revolves around the idea that we want our procurement people to understand what all the possibilities are before we write up a document to tell the contracting community what we want them to give us. Talk about your view of that collaboration, what it should look like, or whether that's even, you think, an appropriate operation.
It's perfectly doable. There are two approaches to that collaboration. One is, if you're at arm's length with the contractor, of course you want to hear his best ideas, and if you make sure that the contractor is always in a competitive situation, it's great. We did that on the A-10, we did that on the F-16. We couldn't have designed the airplane
mm-hmm.
without input from the industry. But that was because, from the start, we knew we were going to have competing companies, and so they were welcome to throw in their best ideas, and we tried to lay down ground rules for that competition that would make an airplane that would help pilots and soldiers survive.
Mm-hmm.
There's the other way of doing the collaboration, which is the way it's almost universally done today, which is the people who come in to collaborate with the government are there to make the program more expensive, more bulletproof politically, to lock it in, and the soldiers and the airmen are like the last consideration. So it's very simple. If you want to collaborate on behalf of making a better weapon, it's essential.
Mm-hmm.
It can easily be done, but the only way you can get it done is in a competitive environment where you're going to have a real fly-off or a real shoot-off, and all the companies know they're out there bitterly fighting each other. And the people who are dealing with them are at arm's length and aren't looking to get jobs from them.
Mm-hmm.
We do the opposite today. Nobody's going to be competing. Somebody's going to be locked into this contract. When we collaborate with them, we're collaborating on the political map of the United States on how to plant subcontractors all over the place, how to write the requirements to triple the cost and ensure a huge money flow for the future. And soldiers and airmen and sailors, too bad about them. Mm-hmm. They're not in this equation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I agree with everything Pierre just said, and I would add as emphasis, it was implicit in what he was saying, is that when you have the collaboration in the competitive sense that he was talking about, you are viewed by the contractors, you being the government person, is viewed by the contractors as being a disinterested agent. In other words, you give each contractor the same information. They understand that you're not going to give preferential treatment to anyone, and that everybody is playing from the top of the deck.
Mm-hmm.
And that's crucially important. And that's one of the things that usually doesn't exist in so-called competitions. Basically, the way the government runs these contracts is people line up for their turns. And so it's almost a given who's going to win the contract before there's even a competition.
Mm-hmm.
And the crucial element here is the guy who's representing the government, or the group of people who are representing the government, have to be not looking for a job in industry after this program is over.
Mm-hmm.
He's absolutely correct.
If that possibility is open, that one of them might get hired by Lockheed or Boeing, first of all, the contractors aren't going to trust them because they can figure one of the companies already bought this guy mm-hmm. with a job, right? So you have to break that. This is where the revolving door and the money comes back in. There's plenty of people to do this job. There's plenty of people to do a great job for representing the government. There's plenty of people in industry to do a great job for new engineering creativity. But when you allow the revolving door to happen, that's the end of these people. And then suddenly their motivation is different, and you can't have this arm's length relationship. So until you pass some really stringent law that stops people in the government from getting a job at Lockheed Martin and Boeing after they've just contracted money to them, which we absolutely don't have today, but until you stop that, none of this is going to get fixed.
I've got to squeeze in one more break, and when we come back, I'd like to talk about the issue of complexity versus simplicity. It's something that's addressed in each of the essays. I saw elements of it in every essay in the book, but especially in those by my three guests today on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guests are Chuck Spinney, Winslow Wheeler, and Pierre Spray, all contributors, and Winslow, the editor of The Pentagon Labyrinth, 10 short essays to help you through it. You can find out more about it later today at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power and Grantham University. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday mornings at 10, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by ARINC.
Anthrax is still a threat. Awareness of and knowledge about the substance is important, according to experts. Anthrax is an acute disease caused by Bacillus anthracis. It affects both humans and animals, and most forms of the disease are highly lethal. There are effective vaccines, though. The symptoms usually start with cold or flu-like symptoms for several days, followed by severe and often fatal respiratory collapse. I'm J.J. Green.
When you think of forensics, a popular TV show with crime scene investigators probably comes to mind. But have you ever thought about forensics at the 30,000-foot level? Literally. ARINC has. ARINC and their partners help oversee the airspace above the nation's capital and have the ability to recreate virtually any situation to indisputably determine the facts, marrying everything from voice recordings to video to GPS. Log on to ARINC.com to learn more.
Homeland Security doesn't just happen. It takes vigilance, intelligence, and experience to see and solve a problem long before it happens. TASC has done this for America's intelligence and defense communities for more than 40 years. As a proven and trusted partner in our nation's security, TASC has the most sophisticated IT solutions and tailored program management expertise to help DHS protect Americans. Homeland Security, by design. That's TASC. Learn more at TASC.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Pentagon Solutions Today, taking a look at the publication, The Pentagon Labyrinth, 10 short essays to help you through it, published by the Strauss Military Reform Project at the Center for Defense Information. And my guests are the editor of this book, Winslow Wheeler, and the two of the contributors, Chuck Spinney and Pierre Spray. And before we get any farther, because we're going to run out of time before I get a chance to do it, Pierre, you found yourself an interesting career after the Pentagon and the defense industry. Tell me in 30 seconds or less about Maple Shade Records.
Yeah, and while I was in the Pentagon, I used to record jazz downtown, down on Rhode Island Avenue, neighborhood clubs, and as an amateur. And after I left the Pentagon, I was still doing consulting on defense and environment and so on, and doing more recording, and pretty soon recording took over my life.
Mm-hmm.
And we started Maple Shade Studio, and it was designed to bring music unchanged, uncolored, into people's living room with the actual excitement you would feel when you were down on Rhode Island Avenue or somewhere recording the real music. And so we pushed very hard by some of the same methods that I used when I was working on airplanes to get really good sound. That's not common in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an exciting, wonderful thing to do, and I'm having the most fun I ever had in my life. I mean, I'm super proud of what I did when I was in the Pentagon, and this is even more fun.
I'm going to link up, just for laughs, I'm going to link up Maple Shade Records on the in-depth page so people can learn more about it. As a little bit of a music fan, I find the technique that you use to record tremendously fascinating, and I would encourage folks, if you're inclined that way, to go take a look at what Pierre does in with his fun time rather than thinking focusing exclusively on Pentagon issues. Gentlemen, we just have a minute or so left, so I'm just going to go across the board. Winslow, issue number one regarding simplifying the system as we're dealing with it today, what is it in your mind?
Pay attention to what you're looking at. Pay attention to what you're listening to. Look into it and sort it out. Don't read the press release and think you've understood it, period.
Chuck?
Well, I think the most fundamental thing in straightening out the Pentagon is we got to do something to clean up the bookkeeping shambles. The Pentagon cannot account for the money it's getting, and until that is fixed, nothing can be fixed.
Mm-hmm. Pierre, issue one as far as trying to simplify the situation as it stands today.
I'll go back to the people issue. You have to disconnect the people from the money motivation that gets them interested in doing something else other than, you know, doing the best you possibly can by the soldiers, the sailors, and the airmen.
Gentlemen, it's been great to have all of you in the studio today. I appreciate your time, and I'll have more information linked up about this publication, The Pentagon Labyrinth, 10 Short Essays to Help You Through It, published by the Strauss Military Reform Project at the Center for Defense Information. Pierre Spray, Chuck Spinney, Winslow Wheeler, thank you very much for being here today. I appreciate your time.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
With hour number two of In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM in just a moment. Take a listen to some budget-related conversation, released by the president yesterday, and you'll learn more about it in hour number two of Federal News Radio 1500 AM's In Depth with Francis Rose.